Ajani took birth. Nanda Jaya Nanda Maharaja, from the wife of Nanda Maharaj. Translation. Thereafter, exactly when Vasudeva, being inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was about to take the newborn child from the delivery room, Yogamaya, the Lord's spiritual energy, took birth as the daughter of the wife of Nanda Maharaj. Responsibly, please repeat. Thereafter, exactly when Vasudeva, being inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was about to take the newborn child from the delivery room, Yogamaya, the Lord's spiritual energy, took birth as the daughter of the wife of Maharaj Nanda. Report by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur discusses that Krishna appeared simultaneously as the son of Devaki and as the son of Yashoda, along with the spiritual energy Yoga Maya. As the son of Devaki, he first appeared as Vishnu, and because Vasudeva was not in the position of pure affection for Krishna, Vasudeva worshipped his son as Lord Vishnu. Yashoda, however, pleased her son Krishna without understanding his godhood. This is the difference between Krishna as the son of Yashoda and as the son of Devaki. This is explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti on the authority of Harivansa. Tathaschashaurir bhagavat prachodita sutam samadaya sasutika griha yadavahirgantum yeshitayitaya yogamayadvinandajaya. Thereafter, exactly when Vasudeva, being inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was about to take the newborn child from the delivery room, Yogamaya, the Lord's spiritual energy, took birth as the daughter of the wife of Maharaj Nanda. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be worshipped in different moods. And he himself reciprocates according to the mood of the particular devotee. Yeyitha maam upadyante hamstapailam ujamiyaham. Krishna is the source of everything, aham sarvasya prabhuvo mata sarvam pravartite iti matva bhajante maam sudabhava samandhi. Krishna is the source of all opulence. He himself is. The name Krishna means all opulence in completeness, sad aishwarya purna. So it is not surprising that the vast majority of devotees worship Krishna in a mood of awe and reverence. In fact, it is more well known that Vishnu is the Godhead. This is also stated in the dictionary. If you look up Vishnu, it explains that he is the Supreme Godhead in Krishna as one of his incarnations. Because everyone is attracted by opulence. But Krishna's incarnation, first of all, Krishna never leaves the spiritual world. He never leaves Vrindavan because there he's worshipped by his very intimate devotees in a very sweet way. The sweetness of, in fact, Jiva Goswami comments that even Gokula, Vrindavan, has a feature about it which is more attractive than Goloka Vrindavan. In Goloka Vrindavan, the opulence of God is very great, and it even diminishes to some degree the sweetness. Whereas in Gokula, the sweetness is prominent. Krishna appears just like a human being, and he acts just like a human being with human emotions, and he's very accessible in Gokula Vrindavan. His opulence is somewhat concealed. So, nevertheless, generally people know God as great. They worship him in awe and reverence. And we find in our own sampradaya, of course we are worshiping Radha and Krishna, but the actual mood in which we are presenting the deities is one of great opulence. We decorate the deities in gold and silver and very opulent dresses. And our form of worship, although it is worship of Radha and Krishna, but the actual mood or respect that we are giving is that of awe and reverence, or in the mood of worship of Vishnu, Narayana. We're worshiping Radha Krishna, but the mood of our worship is that in which Narayana is worshipped. One of the characteristics of pure devotional service is that Krishna very rarely awards pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is awarded to his most intimate devotees. So we can see here, even the mother and father of Krishna are not qualified necessarily to understand the highest emotion, Madhurya Ras. They're not necessarily qualified. All three births, actually, Prishti and Sundapa, when they prayed, they were the first. Here we have Vasudeva and Devaki. Previous to that, we had Kashyapa and Aditi. And previous to that, Prishti and Sutapa. So when Sutapa and Prishti prayed to the Lord for a benediction, they performed very, very heavy austerities. And when they prayed to the Lord for a benediction, they prayed that we want a son like you. And Krishna said, there's no such thing as a son like me, somebody else who's like me. There's only me. So he agreed to take birth as their child in three births. But right from the very beginning, Prishti and Sutapa and Prishti, however you want to say it, they understood
that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in that mood, one can't help but be in the mood of awe and reverence. You know, this is God. This is the Supreme Controller. It's hard to go from a mood of awe and reverence to a mood of simply pure love, not caring whether Krishna is God or not, or knowing that Krishna is God and loving Krishna in the highest mood, as Nanda and Yashoda love Krishna, they're a contradiction in rasas. They're different rasas, or mellows, or moods, or ways of loving Krishna. So, anyway, Krishna and Sutapa, their child was Krishna Garbha, the incarnation of Krishna. Aditi and Kasyapa, their son was Vamanadeva, Supreme Personality of Godhead. He demonstrated wonderful pastimes, and they knew that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they worshipped him like that. And similarly, Vasudeva and Devaki, when Krishna first appeared, one thing I like here is, what is it, Grihat, what's the word used? Sutika, Grihat, the maternity room. It seems that Vasudeva and Devaki, although they were in the prison per se, and although they were shackled in iron chains, it was not like the Santa Cruz lockup. It was a little bit different prison house because they were a royal family. Devaki being the sister of Kansa. So they were put in a royal prison. And there was even a maternity room. I remember the early picture drawn by one of our ISKCON artists of Krishna, of Vasudeva and Devaki being in a jail cell. And I thought, oh, this is horrible. This looked like a dark, dirty, old jail cell. And I thought, my gosh, Krishna was, took birth in that jail cell. But it appears that they had a little bit more opulent situation than that. So there was a maternity room, and when Krishna appeared, Vasudeva and Devaki, they offered prayers, because Krishna appeared with four arms. So they couldn't just immediately think that, oh, here's our dear little child, how sweet. How many of you have children with four arms and helmets and jewels? And I don't think so. So immediately they can understand that Krishna has taken birth, the Supreme Lord has taken birth, and they offer prayers in awe and reverence. So that mood was different when Vasudeva took Lord Krishna from Mathura to Vrindavan. Yashoda was pregnant and she did give birth, but the child was changed. Yogamaya, an expansion of Yogamaya, took birth, but she couldn't discriminate. She was tired, childbirth, was late at night. So somehow she couldn't identify. And when the child was exchanged, right from the very beginning, she thought, this is my little baby Krishna. And of course, any mother has a lot of love for her little baby, Ashok or Prakash or Krishna or whoever it is. And they don't think that, oh, God is taking birth in my womb. They just think this is my little baby. And I have to protect my little baby or my little baby will be hurt. So Mother Yashoda was thinking like that, that if I don't feed my baby, the first thing she did was took her child on her lap and give her breast to her child, thinking that I have to feed my newborn baby. So this is naturally a mother's sentiment. She was not thinking that this is God. Now, this position achieved by Mother Yashoda is not by accident that she achieved that position of having Krishna as her child, but she is the most fortunate Vaishnavi, the most fortunate devotee in the entire creation. And therefore she got this opportunity. She had performed great worship of the Lord, and she had a very pure heart. Therefore, she was able to achieve that, what is known as spontaneous love. So, we also, as I mentioned, we are practicing devotional service on the platform of sadhana bhakti. In fact, we don't even think of ourselves as devotees of Krishna. In the strictest sense, we think that we are sadhakas. We are practicing sadhana. Someday we hope to become devotees. When anartha navritti syat, when all of the dirty things are cleansed from our heart, lust, anger, greed, envy, when six kinds of contamination are cleansed from our heart, and when we're engaged 24 hours a day in devotional service, Mahatmanastu Maam Partha Daivani Prakritim Asuta, when we take full shelter of Krishna, then we will be able to practice devotional service. That stage of devotion is called raga, ragandika bhakti, or ragandika bhakti. And every devotee, if he sticks to the path of devotional service and makes progress, will someday come to that stage. It is not a stage that can be imitated artificially. It is a very advanced stage. We see here that even Vasudeva and Devaki, they were not in that mood of spontaneous forgetfulness that Krishna is God. Of course, they were pure devotees. They also did get Krishna as their child. They were transcendental personalities. But somehow, the mood of their love, Prabhupada describes here, was not as pure. They didn't have the position of pure affection for Krishna. So although they got Krishna as their child, but they didn't have the purest type of affection as Nanda and Yashoda were experiencing. So at a certain stage of our development of sadhana, we will be guided by Krishna, by Srila Prabhupada, by the Shastra, on how to practice Raga Nuga Bhakti, by following in the footsteps of one of the residents of Vrindavan, such as Nanda and Yashoda, or any of all of the residents of Vrindavan were Raga Bhaktas, or are Raga Bhaktas. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur The Hari Vansa he's explaining from is part of the Vishnu Purana, and something is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam and something is explained in the Vishnu Purana. It is all very wonderful. So I'll stop there. Maybe there's some questions or discussion. Yes.
Here in the translation it is said that when Krishna took birth of the child of Vasudeva, he simultaneously took birth as the child of Yashoda also.
Yeah, I know. That actually anyway, what's your question? I picked up on that, but
what happened when Nanda took Krishna, this Krishna?
No, actually it was Yogamaya that took birth, an expansion of Yogamaya took birth.
Krishna also took birth.
I know it says that, but I think if you read the syntax a little different, let's see, Krishna appeared simultaneously as the son of Devaki and as the son of Yashoda, along with the spiritual energy Yoga Maya. It would appear that Devaki had two children. I mean, Yashoda had two children, Krishna and Yoga Maya. I'm not sure whether it's meant to say that Yogamaya and Krishna appeared simultaneously as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki and Nanda and Yashoda.
But once Giridhar Maharaj explained in the class, I did not hear it properly, but he said that Krishna also appeared as Yashoda's son, and when Vasudeva took Krishna, that Krishna was in the Krishna of Yashoda.
I don't know about that. I can't comment on that. It's possible. It does appear to say that, I mean, definitely Yogamaya, the daughter, was born as the daughter of Yashoda. Vasudeva took the female child back to Devaki's side. And I think that's explained in the next verses. Let's see. Okay, thus he placed his own son on the bed of Yashoda, picked up her daughter, an expansion of Yogamaya, and then returned to his residence. So, there's nothing here further about Krishna being involved. Though it's not in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but perhaps here our Swami knows. In where? In the Krishna Sandarbha, it's explained that Krishna and Yogamaya took birth. So Krishna and Yogamaya, like Yashoda, had twins. Right, but Yashoda had twins. So that's the explanation. Yes, Narayana Maharaj.
Although Krishna also took birth in the womb of Yashoda, but actually Yogamaya also took birth.
That's what's said here, yes.
But she was not conscious of giving delivery birth to Yogamaya, but when she became conscious, only when she saw Krishna, in that respect, Krishna Saibandhya was Devaki and not the Yashoda. She never saw that Sri Rupa Maya at all. She only saw Krishna. That's why, in that respect, the discussion that Krishna took but simultaneously to Devaki and Yashoda.
Yeah. Okay. So, the version is that Yashoda had twins, but she didn't notice one of her twins, Yogamaya. She only became aware when Krishna appeared in her womb. Yes.
Vasudeva Krishna. Krishna character Vasudeva, who is birthed in the Krishna of Nanda and Yashoda, he was the Vasudeva Krishna who killed the demons afterwards.
Yes.
Like Kamsa and this Krishna, Yashoda's Krishna never left Vrindavan.
Okay, that's a nice idea. These were different. There's the Swami Krishna, and he expands himself as Vasudeva, just like when Akura took Krishna from Vrindavan. He didn't actually take Krishna from Vrindavan. He took Vasudeva from Vrindavan, and the original Krishna remained with the gopis. So these are all very wonderful pastimes of Krishna. So here it's explained that the Krishna that was born to Yashoda could not have come from Mathura, because Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So Krishna had to appear. Practically it appears that Krishna appeared in Vrindavan. He didn't appear in Mathura. Vasudeva appeared in Mathura. And Vasudeva was never transferred to Vrindavan. Is that correct? Vasudeva never went to Vrindavan.
When Krishna appeared in the womb of Devaki as Vishnu, and it expanded, past expanded.
Yes.
But when requested, he became an ordinary thing. That's Krishna himself at that time.
No, he became, Vasudeva turned into Swayam Krishna, or that Swayam Krishna was already in the womb of Yashoda?
No, he appeared there also. He mentioned here in the
world. No, no. But where he divided categories. There's Krishna that never leaves Vrindavan. Just like it's explained that when Krishna was taken by Akrura, that he actually never took Krishna.
Yeah, but here...
Yeah, but. Don't say yeah, but. If it's true, it's true.
Yeah, it's mentioned by Prabhupada in Bhagavad, Krishna, when he became...
Appeared simultaneously.
No, in the previous thing, when Krishna became a false thing from the Quran and Bhagavad, that's original Krishna. That's mentioned there.
Yes, but that may be Vasudeva.
Original Krishna is not Vasudeva, not expansion.
Yeah. Vasudeva also doesn't have four hands. You didn't see Vasudeva walking around Mathura with four hands. When Krishna killed Kansa, he didn't hit him with four hands. He only hit him with two hands. So don't say that Vasudeva can't have two hands. He can. Huh? Okay, but people didn't see it. See, all the residents of Dwarka have four hands also, but you can't see them. They have four arms also.
Sorry, I just wanted to ask you if Krishna in any form is Krishna, whether it's Vasudeva or whether you call him anything else, it's the same thing. So why is there a dispute on where is Krishna with Yashoda or with...
Yes, there's oneness and difference. There is oneness, but there's difference also, according to the exhibition of qualities.
Yes, but that is...
Krishna's expansions are one, but each expansion has a little bit different pastime or manifestation of qualities. Just like Lord Ramchandra is Krishna, but he doesn't manifest the full opulence of Krishna. He's called Maryada Purushottam.
But that is his discretion. I mean, what he wants to manifest himself as.
Yes.
It doesn't make a difference. I mean, I would assume that it was Krishna himself in any form that he appeared.
Well, there's two categories. There's Vishnu Tattva and there's Jiva Tattva. So certainly the Vishnu Tattva expansions of Krishna are explained like one candle lighting many other candles. They all have the same candle power, but there's still one original candle. So Krishna is the original and all his expansions are of the same potency, but Krishna is Swayamrupa. Is that all right?
Yes.
So.
I have just one question.
Yes.
When we say that, you say Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, but on the other hand, it says that Lord lives within us.
Lord?
The Lord lives within us, Lord's everywhere.
Yes, that's Paramatma.
So how is it? How can we see Krishna never
leaves
Vrindavan?
That is Krishna's achintya shakti. Well, that is one of Krishna's features. Krishna is called Advaita Gyan, Ramehi Paramatmehi Bhagavanehi Shabdite. Mayata Tamidam Sarvam Jagadavyakta Murtina. Krishna expands himself as Paramatma, not only in the hearts of all living beings, but as the super soul within every atom. And yet, even though he expands himself, Purnasya Purnamadaya, still he remains as little baby Krishna. Lord Brahma had this problem also, so it's not amazing that we should be a little bewildered. He could not understand how Krishna had taken the form of all the cows and cowherd boys, and yet he was still the same little child. That is Krishna's manifestation of his potency. In order to expand himself throughout the creation, he takes the form of Vishnu, Paramatma. And if you worship Paramatma within the heart and you achieve perfection, you're well on your way going back to Godhead. But it is not the highest mood of worship of Krishna. Worship of Paramatma is Vishnu worship. It's not on the same level as worshiping Krishna as baby Krishna, or as Krishna in any of his pastimes, not only baby Krishna. Krishna as Bhagavan, Leela Krishna. I'm not sure, did I answer your question?
Actually, not totally. When you say Brahma was bewildered, I'm not bewildered with these God, why do I compare him to a human quality of how does he spread himself so much? That's human who cannot, and God can do anything of the sort. What I have to ask you is this, why do we have to limit God to Vrindavan and Vrindavan? Why limit? Because there is no limit to God.
No, Krishna is not limited, but he associates with his devotees according to the degree of their affection. And in Vrindavan, all the residents of Vrindavan worshiped Krishna so intensely, they didn't even care that he was God. Now, you wouldn't be coming to this temple if you didn't think you were going to be worshiping God. If there was just some fellow over here named Krishna who was quite popular among some of his friends, he probably wouldn't come here. So we're not on that level. we aspire to come to that stage of yoga maya where we are so much immersed in love of Krishna we even forget that he is God. So Krishna is so attracted to that mood that he can't, he's imprisoned by his devotee's love. Although he's ajita, he becomes jita by the mood of the gopi's love. So he's not limited. He can reciprocate with any one of his devotees in any way and to any degree that they want to love him or reject him for that matter. There's also a kind of negative attraction.
As you quoted Krishna to Bhagavan Swayam from Srimad Bhagavatam.
Krishna to Bhagavan Swayam, I just quoted it now. Go ahead.
That contains appearances.
Yes.
Appearances, as you quoted, it should be considered as pure law in higher speech. There is no Paramatma Rupa. There is personal rupa of loving affairs between the Supreme God and Krishna, the child. Yes. That is your simple-hearted love.
Yes. Ramana is saying that the worship of Krishna in his original form is simply pure love. And that is more intimate than worship of Paramatma. Any other points? Some nice points, yes. No, Krishna what?
In Goloka, is it without any opulences? Krishna in Goloka?
No. Are you talking Gokula or Goloka? Goloka is the opulence exceeds the sweetness.
Wait a
second, I didn't understand his question.
He's telling that Goloka Vrindavan is just like there is no opulence. It's a just.
Because Krishna is a coward boy and Goloka and Gokula is a coward village. So people have a conception that when we say we are worshipping the Supreme, that Goloka does not have any, Vaikuntha has opulence. And is there any opulence?
In Goloka Vrindavan there is opulence, but it's not the kind of opulence everything is
Gokula is opulence dominated.
Yeah, but still, I already said that. But I'm trying to go farther than that because he's asking more than that. In other words, think about that statement. How does the opulence dominate? What does that mean?
Aishwarya is dominating.
Means what? Means what?
Krishna's opulence are there.
Like what?
Gokula.
Like what?
Like it's fully decorated.
Fully decorated. One thing is there are no demons in Goloka Vrindavan. And still, nevertheless, Krishna gives the appearance. He does get pulled through the mud, through the cow dung, by the cows. He does roll in the dust. It's a funny thing. It's explained that the gopis come to clean Krishna's house. And one gopi cleans Krishna's house. Actually, there's no dirt there. But still, she thinks, oh, I have to clean Krishna's house. cold. So these things are very wonderful. It's a realm beyond our experience. We can go to Vrindavan and we can understand something about Gokula Vrindavan just by having the right heart and the right absorption. Still, you will find there is Vrindavan, but you'll see it as transcendental. When you go to Varshana, you'll see that there's a big hill and there's this and that. When you go to Govardhan, it's not that all of a sudden something different appears to you besides what is there as Govardhan Hill, but you appreciate it with great bhavana, with great love and affection. But the sweetness of it being what it is in the material world, and the sweetness of Krishna playing in that environment, is stronger, and it's a subtle thing, but it's stronger, and you feel more attracted to Krishna in that mood, because when you emphasize the opulence of God, he becomes remote. He becomes transcendent. He moves away from you to the degree that his opulence increases. So when the sweetness is there, it's just very satisfying, very fulfilling, and you get great hope that I can get this boy's association in awe and reverence. We stand back, but in love we go forward.
Yes. Would it be like, you know, when we have darshan just now, see Krishna, the jewels, then in the morning for Bangla when we see Krishna, he is removed of the jewelry. He is very in his own will with a simple garland.
Yes.
Something like that.
Well, there's a comparison here to the Sringar at Mangalarti and the Sringar at Sringar Darshan, and the full dress of Krishna's there. And that's something, but not exactly, because we're still worshiping Krishna in awe and reverence, and it's not that. It may increase. I mean, Krishna has been, we can think that Krishna at Mangalarti, he's been sleeping, and he's been woken up from his bed, and but even in Gokula Vrindavan, even in Goloka Vrindavan, that Krishna changes his dress. It's not that Krishna doesn't wake up with sand in his eyes, and, you know, Mother Yashoda dresses him, bathes him, etc., and then puts on his best clothes, and that changing of dress is there. Yes.
Actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes some things about the opulences of Vrindavan. He said that all the trees are made of emeralds, and fruits of the trees are rubies, and land is covered with sapphires, and there are a lot of descriptions like that of Vrindavan. So,
yeah. Opulences. Goloka Vrindavan.
Well, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains also after that actually the opulence of Vrindavan is called Madhuri Aishwarya.
Yes.
Because that opulence of Vrindavan, it increases the Madhuri rasa.
Uh-huh.
Whereas the opulence of Vaikuntha, it increases the mood of awe and reverence. So actually the opulence of Vrindavan, there is opulence, but it is for increasing the Madhuri rasa. So that is a different kind.
He first appeared as Vishnu, and because Vasudeva was not in the position of pure affection for Krishna, Vasudeva worshipped his son as Lord Vishnu. Somehow or other, Vasudeva and Devaki, although being in Goloka Vrindavan also, but their mood was different. I agree that the opulence in the spiritual world doesn't disqualify you, it doesn't, you know, bewilder you so that you go back down to Vaikuntha, but still it's possible. And this is, I remember we had a discussion, Jamal Krishna and myself, and Srila Prabhupada commented also about Jiva Goswami's statement that the opulence of Goloka is prominent and the sweetness is not so prominent, and vice versa for Gokula. That's all we're trying to establish. Do you have any problem with that? Huh? I mean, there could be Vishwanath Chakrabarti's opinion that is different than Jiva Goswami's opinion, and you may know about that, and I don't. All I know is when we were discussing it with Prabhupada, he agreed. Yeah.
I read that reference which Maharaj was saying that the Gokula Vrindavan is more than Goloka, but the reason given for that which I had read is because it is more accessible to the conditioned soul, like you said, that hello, like child Krishna, baby Krishna is not there in the spiritual world. Prabhupada said that. So, but regarding opulence, Prabhupada also said it is like the same replica. Gokula
Vrindavan
is exact same replica as Goloka.
You have not explained Jiva Goswami's statements.
And that is because some fellows of a conditioned soul, they can approach Krishna in the material world, even in past
time.
That is not possible.
Nobody can approach Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan unless they're completely liberated.
Because
conditioned souls can approach Krishna anywhere unless they practice sadhana bhakti.
Because he's performing his pastime in Gokula just for the benefit of the conditioned souls.
Yes, therefore the sweetness overcomes the opulence.
Yeah, but even in Bharat, even that is the same situation in Goloka, only this factor is extra. Even in Goloka, the sweetness overpowers the opulence.
That's not what we discussed with Srila Prabhupada. And that's not according to the statements of Jiva Goswami. Now maybe he said it for some specific reason that was not indicated and Prabhupada didn't indicate. But the statement is that there's a difference between Goloka and Gokula. And that is, in Goloka, the opulence is more prominent.
That I read from Vishwanath Chakrabarti, that he divides Goloka into three partitions.
Okay.
Mathura, Dwarka and Gokula.
Okay.
So in the Gokula, in Goloka, the sweetness is overpowering the opulence. But in the Mathura partition and the Dwarka partition, the opulence overpowers the sweetness.
Okay.
That's
also in the
spiritual world. So even the spiritual world, the Gokula partition, the sweetness overpowers the opulence, whereas in the Mathura and the Dwarka partition, the opulence.
That's possible. That's one explanation. I'm just saying what Jiva Goswami stated. If Vishwanath Chakrabarti says that the Goloka Vrindavan is divided into three partitions, then that would explain it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
That Goloka Vrindavan has become Mathura. No, no. Jiva Goswami's statement is that Goloka and Gokula Vrindavan, there's a difference. He doesn't talk about Goloka Vrindavan, Goloka Mathura and Goloka Dwarka. He just says Goloka Vrindavan. But you're suggesting that the term Goloka Vrindavan, Vishwanath Chakrabarti said, actually means Mathura and Dwarka also. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
alert.
Anyway, it's certainly a nice discussion, and nevertheless, what we discussed in the class, that there are two stages of development of bhakti. One is called sadhana and one is called raga. And real love of Krishna begins from the platform of raga. We are bhaktas, but we are sadhakas. We actually are trying to develop love for Krishna. Real love manifests when one comes to the platform of raganuga, and even then at that time, one transcends the ordinary rules of sadhana. He does not desist from following the rules of sadhana to instruct others, but one becomes transcendental to the ordinary rules of sadhana and comes to a higher platform of love, or a higher platform of bhakti. So that's what we're discussing here, that Vasudeva and Devaki, they worship Krishna as Vishnu, and Prabhupada says that that was not to the stage of pure affection as was that of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and all the residents of Vrindavan. So that was the point of the purport. Rantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.